Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
John Clayton, 104.3 The Fan, senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com, joins us now, courtesy of Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Twin Peaks. John, welcome back to the program. Vic Fangio says this quarterback battle is, quote, even Steven. You buying it?
No, not now. I mean, you can see that. That Drew Locke has had a pretty decent time in training camp, and I can see it even Steven. But when you saw the work that happened in Minnesota at the two practices, joint practices, and in the game, I think you have to give the edge to Drew. And, of course, I think he tipped off that there has to be a little bit of an edge because he said, hey, I may make the announcement next week before game three. And because, obviously, whoever's going to be starting that game is going to be the starting quarterback. And so I think right now Drew has the lead. I mean, he threw five completions for 151 yards. I think he did a nice job adding some play-action passes that I think worked well. So, they may say it's even Steven, but I don't know if anybody's buying it.
Well, let me twist it this way, John, and John Clayton joining us here. If he's saying even Steven when it looked like Drew Locke clearly had the better day, mm-hmm. Do you think it's because with a coach on the hot seat that hasn't won a game in September yet, he truly wants to go with Bridgewater and Drew Locke is making that difficult for him?
No, I think that'd be reading too much into it. I think that the idea is it's going to be, best man wins. And, Bridgewater, I mean, say what you want, he was effective. What was he, 7 for 8 for over 50 yards?
Yep.
And so he was very efficient. But, again, it's like there was more big plays coming from Drew, and the fact that they had the 80-yard touchdown pass and all that, I think you just give the edge. And, again, that's why, again, I know there's still so much criticism for not taking Justin Fields, who was the best of the rookie quarterbacks in the first preseason week. But also, it's like, look at Patrick Surtain and how good he is. And now they probably are in a position to trade Bryce Callahan to get some value for him, because I think there's no way possible you can't have Patrick Surtain on the field as one of the three top cornerbacks, because he had to pick six and all those different things. But, no, I think that at this stage, you're looking at Drew having a good chance to win. And, of course, the idea is they did not want to be in a position where, they had to, replace him this year. And that's if you take Justin Fields, and you're replacing him. Now they gave Drew a chance to grow, and I think he's grown.
John Clayton joining us. John, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Bryce Callahan. They keep him for depth. Do they trade him and try to get some assets for him? That's going to be very interesting. What did you make of the running game? Javonte Williams had a couple nice runs early on. The offensive line, which starters were in there, looked really good. What did you make of that offensive line in the running game?
No, I thought it looked good. I mean, even though that Risner didn't play, I thought that the blocking was good. But more than anything, I think everything that you see coming out of Javonte Williams looks fantastic. I mean, he's a nasty runner. He's a smart runner. He's a physical runner. And so I like a lot what you see there. And if I'm Melvin Gordon, you got to start wondering. It's like, hey, am I going to lose my starting job? Because, he was the second best quarter running back in the draft, Javonte Williams. And I think he's showing it. And I think he's showing that he has a chance to be the starter.
John Clayton joining us. Last question from me. It's about KJ Hamler, the second round pick a year ago out of Penn State. That was the first, I think, real flash on Saturday of what we thought a year ago he could be. We didn't see it a year ago like we saw it on Saturday. Do you think that'll be more on a regular basis from the former second round pick?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can see they got three really good receivers. Now, he finally was healthy enough to step up, because last year he wasn't as healthy. This preseason, at the beginning, he wasn't healthy. But now he was healthy enough, and you can see how fast he is, and he can make big plays. So I think that you're looking at, and again, I still go back to Pro Football Focus, where they've come back and they said, hey, here is the sixth best team for pass catchers, and that includes Noah Fant at tight end, and it's a deep running back class, and I think Hamler fits in perfectly.
All right, John, we will leave it there for now. Appreciate your time here in Denver. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
There he goes, John Clayton.
The bell's ringing.
Our senior fan, senior Broncos writer from DenverFan.com, joining us courtesy of Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Ding! You got to get that thing on vibrate.
Oh, that was a notification blowing up. Halfway home and my page is still blowing up. See you, John. Ding! Hey. I ain't hating on that.
Hey. It's all good.
There you go.
It's all good. I do disagree with John, though. I disagree with John about the quarterbacks. When he says he doesn't think it's even Steven, he thinks this coaching staff wants to go with Drew Locke. I just, we're here every day in the trenches of this thing, and I just have a gut feeling that Vic Fangio wants Teddy Bridgewater, and it's not even like... Yeah, like
is it a Mark Schlereth gut feeling? Mark Schlereth, Aaron Rodgers gut feeling? Is that kind of how you're feeling, or is it just kind of a little bit different than that? Because I mean, that was almost like you wouldn't be surprised if it happened that day.
It's a little bit different because I think I have tangible things to draw from that would lead me to this conclusion, and I don't think anything has been more impactful than what he said at halftime. I just, like, you don't have to know much about much that at halftime, Drew Locke was the most wow quarterback.
As good as he can play.
In the league
that week. As good as he can play.
And Bridgewater hadn't started his second series that was a touchdown?
Yeah, he didn't do anything. Drive. Hadn't done anything yet.
It was 4 for 5, I think, at that point for 40-something yards. I think I heard D-Max say 4 for 5 for 44 yards. A drive that led to a field goal. Drew Locke was 5 for 7, 154 yards, and 2 touchdown passes. One of them was for 80 yards. And he just didn't, Vic just does not.
If that's the guy that you want, to your point, if that's the guy you want, and you know, you're really like, everybody has a favorite, right? You know, I mean, seriously, when you got 2 or 3 kids, you like one better than the other one. I mean, you're not going to tell them that, but it's just kind of the way it goes, right? I mean, isn't that how everybody feels? Or no? But like in this competition, you're going to favor one over the other. And I'm not telling you which way Vic's favoring them, who he's favoring, but at the same time, you could hear it, like you're saying. You could hear it, right? That if he wanted Drew Locke to be the guy, if he wanted Drew Locke to be the guy, you're like, oh my, you know, what do you say in that moment? You say, Drew played great. This is what we thought he could do all last year. We're seeing it now. This is what we'd love to see. What a first half by Drew Locke. Now he's got to continue it. It was only a short period there, but man, this is what we were hoping to see from Drew Locke. He's taken a step forward. He had the type of game that he needed to have. You know, you just praise the guy,
right?
But if you don't want him to win, if you want the other guy, you answer like Vic did. You're 125% on it, Zach.
And he didn't even really acknowledge what Rod Mackey was looking for.
Oh, like, no.
He went right to Teddy.
Yes.
He went right to Teddy.
Yep.
I mean,
like, you don't even know you're doing it. Like, sometimes you don't even know you're favoring one kid over the other kid. You'll find that out here soon.
Maybe so.
Huh?
Maybe so.
No, I'm just telling you. It just happens. Am I the only one?
Who's your favorite son?
I can't say that on air. I can't say that. I, you know what you say on air? I love them both. Yeah. I love them both. They're both great.
We have Carson confirmed.
Not true.
Oh, Lordy. I mean, look, so yes, it's a gut feeling, but it's also
Depends on the day with your kids.
Gotcha.
Depends on the day.
Gotcha.
That's what it, you know.
Look,
my family might be listening. You can't just try to put me on the spot. I'll tell you off air.
I'm speculating, yes, but I think what I'm drawing from has a little bit of substance to it.
No, I think it has a lot. It's not like something that you're digging for. I'm right there with you.
Have you ever heard Vic really show Drew love? From the time he came here and called him a pitcher that knows how to throw hard, but doesn't know how to locate.
Yeah.
From the time he said he's got the tools, but, you know, I can go to Home Depot and grab some tools doesn't mean make me a carpenter.
That's right. Look at your recall. Holy cow.
Total.
Man. Whew. Schwarzenegger.
I mean,
wow.
I mean, seriously, we've never heard Vic.
No.
But to be fair, he's kind of wired like that as a coach anyway. He doesn't show a lot of love.
That's right, but he
hits a Von Miller as well.
Yeah, but He will. Calvin Anderson. Let's not forget about Calvin Anderson.
Good point.
That the it factor, Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen.
He showed Brandon Allen a lot of love.
Gamer.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
You make an intelligent observation.
And there's some people he will show love to for whatever reason, and there's some that he won't. But it just seems like you're right. When has he shown Drew a lot of love? I can't recall, really. And he had a great opportunity to in that moment. And if that's your guy, you show him a lot of love because you're trying to pump him up for everybody. This is what we see, you know, because that's secretly who you want to win. But if it's not, you answer it like he answered it. I think that tells a lot.
I think so, too.
Good pickup.
What did the head football coach say after today's practice about the quarterbacks? Take a dive into it next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Stokely and I were out at Broncos training camp practice. Vic Fangio was not asked about the quarterbacks after today's practice. So we have to go back to yesterday, which we did not do because we were on the air and guys were working on the audio and whatnot. This is Vic from yesterday. Does he want to name a starter after the Seahawks game?
It's possible.
That's it.
Well, I mean, that's what Vic does, you know. I don't think, and I think that's the right approach. You know, you don't want to say yes or no and be kind of, you know, put into a corner when that time comes.
Maybe, but maybe not.
There we go, right? I mean, I think in this situation, everything's fluid. It could happen quick. It could be late. Ideally, you would like it to be sooner rather than later. But if they don't show you enough and you need to extend it, then you want to leave that open. So no need to say, yes, I would love to do it then, and then you're not able to do it. I think that's the right approach. But
it's
obviously
possible.
Thank you, Vic. Everything's possible. Anything's possible. That's your guy.
My guy, KG.
Your guy. But obviously he would like to do it sooner rather than later, right?
You would think, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see if he's able to call it after the Seahawks game or not, or if it's extended.
This is,
but I think he should be able to do it. It's just time. There needs to be a deadline here. You know, that's my view. That's my view
it's
on
not
it.
Not ideal for the football team.
KG, love that guy. All time great. Oh, good guy too. I heard really good guy. Super duper nice guy. Ever meet him? Ever had run-ins with him?
You darn right I have. Mm. And there's
don't try to eat that popcorn chicken.
There's enough people listening right now that haven't heard the story that I feel like I need to reset it, but
not today.
Not today.
It's an all-time great. It's an all-time great story.
Here's the condensed version in one sentence. At one point in time, circa 2011 or 12, KG tossed me out of the Celtics locker room as I was working for the team for one night. Because I snuck a piece of food from the team meal because I was about to pass out.
You stole. He stole.
And it was just me, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce in a locker room, and I thought Kevin Garnett was going to punch me in my face.
Mm.
And so he screamed at me and tossed me out of the locker room.
Joe?
Guys, you know what? I'm in Chick-fil-A, and I have to make my order. What's that?
Yo, Joe! That's what he said. Yeah. Booming voice.
Ugh.
Comes up like we are about to fight. And apparently stories have come out through the years of Kevin doing this to the team doctor.
You can't eat before the players.
You are.
That's his.
Until every single player has eaten. No one on the coaching staff, the medical staff, the training staff, no one can eat. And apparently there is some tales. So I'm a part of this history.
Yes. It's a great story.
This is more from Vic Fangio, asked yesterday, after Saturday's game against the Vikings, is there some separation?
I thought they both played good. You know, and I think, you know, when you talk about last week, you think about the whole week in its totality. You know, the two practices against Minnesota, you know, are important because, you know, our ones against their ones, you know, for the most part. And then the game. So to me, it was a 3-day trip in that regards. And I thought both guys did well.
He used it again.
He did.
Totality line. That's his go-to. But he's right. It's not just what we saw. It's not just the 7 passes from Drew Locke. It goes way more, way beyond that, and it's a couple of days of practice and that game.
Totality.
You put together and say, how was the week for these guys? Fans just see the one game and like goo goo gaga about Drew, and you know he's got to be the starter. A lot of people go down that road, but you don't know what happened the two other days there in practice. Right? And that goes a long way. I'm not saying it from my perspective. I'm talking about from the coach's perspective.
Right.
Right? Those days mean a lot. They threw more than 7 passes in each of those practices, I guarantee you.
For sure.
There's a lot that goes in. How did they handle those situations? And that goes to determining, you know, who do they think's in the lead? But once again, you know, like we talked about last segment and you brought it up and we talked about it yesterday. I mean, Vic has opportunities to just gloss all over Drew Locke if he wants to and pump him up if he wants to. But he's not doing it. And that just, I think that's the ultimate clue that he is leaning towards Teddy here. I mean, he's had it. You brought it up right there, the halftime speech. We didn't even see anything from Teddy.
No.
And he passed on it.
He passed on it.
Same thing right there.
Here's another opportunity. Watch this. And I know you haven't heard this yet.
How do you know?
You may have.
I haven't. You're right.
But this is Vic. This is on the heels of Drew throwing 2 touchdown passes, 154 yards, looking like, you know, looking great. All right? Vic, is Drew seeing the field better this year?
Yeah, he definitely is.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, he didn't expand on that.
No.
Just like, yeah, it definitely is. I mean, we saw that.
We did.
But another opportunity.
It's another opportunity to show a little bit of, not even love, show a little bit of like.
Yeah.
And right. He just kind of won't do it. And I don't think I have my tinfoil hat on here.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Not at all. This is real. Because it's human nature to kind of skew things the way that you want them to be seen. Even though you might not think you're doing it, right? You're doing it. And Vic's certainly doing it. If Teddy was his guy, guess what? He's going to be saying a lot more positive things about Teddy. I mean, Drew. If Drew was his guy, like when that guy plays well, that's the time to just go out of your way and especially a young quarterback and pump him up.
Well, it's easy when you're just telling the truth.
Last year.
It's easy when you're just telling the truth.
Yes.
Did Drew play well on Saturday?
Oh my gosh.
Yes, he did.
He played great.
Well, why can't we just talk about it for a second? Like
right.
These are the function of these press conferences.
Yeah. He played great, saw the field, loved the throw to Hamler. He hung in there on the one to Judy. Really, really looking like he's taking some steps in the right direction this year. And hopefully, you know, I mean, like you have a chance to really pump the guy up if you wanted to. And that's a guy that really struggled last year. So if that was the guy that you really wanted to play, they kind of know who they want to play. Don't you think, Zach?
Yeah.
How far along? I mean, it's not a light bulb's not going to go over their head here in 1 week. And all of a sudden they say, oh, yeah, look at that. It's definitely this guy.
Eureka. We found him on day 36 of camp.
Eureka.
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 It was a Thursday at 2:57 p.m.
He showed up.
And we found out who the guy was.
Yes. I mean, come on.
I had no idea yesterday.
No,
I
mean, didn't know.
It is, the more we talk about this, the more kind of silly it seems.
I'm going to give you to Seattle. After Seattle, it needs to be done.
Playing silly games.
It needs to be done, wrapped up. Look, it is what it is. Drew's going to show some flashes. But then he's going to be very inconsistent, up and down. We saw it today. Teddy's going to be a little bit more steady. You know, who do you want? You know who you want. They know who they want. And I think it's Teddy.
I think so.
You think
too.
It's Teddy too. Yeah. We're on the same page here.
Yep.
And Vic's answers give us those clues. Pat Shurmur today give us those clues. Pat Shurmur, Pat's just, boring Pat. May Pat Shurmur, right? No emotion really over there. Haven't seen, today I saw two blow-ups from him. I don't know who the first one was generated towards. Don't know if it was at one of the defensive coaches, one of the offensive coaches, one of the players. I'm not quite sure, but the second one was all on Drew Lock, and he pulled Drew Lock out of the drill.
He did. We haven't seen that yet this year.
Are you doing that to a guy that you plan on starting? I don't think so. I don't think so.
What about this opposing viewpoint I heard on my way in from Nate Jackson? He says, when the coaches are coaching you hard, that means they have a plan for you.
Sure. You're not going to coach guys hard that you don't, think aren't coachable. But that wasn't that. That was pulling them out of the drill. That wasn't coaching them hard. That was pulling them out of the drill. Because you know why? You're fed up. You're fed up with the same mistakes. That's what that was. I can guarantee you that's what that was. And they might try to spin it however they want, but I saw what I saw, and he was in the huddle. And after Pat Shurmur went was really upset, in jogs Teddy, after Teddy already took the first team reps, and it was Drew's turn. We haven't seen it, and Drew's in the huddle waiting to call the play, and Teddy taps him on the shoulder and Pat told me to come replace you. That's a coach that's fed up with you making the same mistakes and you missing reads, and his job's on the line. That's what that was.
Oh, okay. We'll circle back to what we saw from the quarterbacks today here in just a few minutes. But first, it is time for Stokely's Star of the Day. Who stood out?
Got a good one.
Who stood out at camp today? Take a dive into it next. God's that time. Who stood out at camp and gets the lifelong title of Stokely's Star of the Day and their name engraved outside the statue? Outside UCL Training Center.
Yeah. Quite the honor. I only got a few more left.
You got today, tomorrow, and Thursday. That's it.
That's it, brother. So, I know a lot of people are listening right now, biting their fingernails and sitting on the edge of their seat.
Yeah.
Waiting to see if they get this honor.
I have a source that says the Broncos are still waiting in the facility with Stokely and Zach on, just trying to figure out who's going to be Stokely's Star of the Day.
It was that Mark's source? With the Aaron Rodgers news there, or is it a different one? That one just felt good. Day seven.
Day seven of the Mark Solaris smear campaign told us on draft night that Aaron Rodgers was headed to Denver, and instead we have a 50-50 competition between Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater.
You're going to pay a price for that, Mark. We will never forget. We forgive, but we're not going to forget.
Oh, man. Too funny.
Oh, too funny. But the star of the day, because we know the Broncos are waiting because they got meetings to go to, so let's just get right down to business. Not a lot offensively. Who can you choose from offensively? Who made plays consistently? Guess what? No one, right? So you look at the defense. Defense had to be good. Okay, no interceptions. I can't tell if they're sacks or no sacks, right? You can't really tell. It's hard to give it to a defensive guy. I didn't see anybody make a pick, make a few pass breakups. So that leaves me with what?
Oh, I know what you're going to do.
Leaves me with the specialist.
Oh.
Brandon McManus was money today.
Golly, you Kevin literally Kisner. Took my freaking idea.
Kevin Kisner, oh our God. Guy. Kisner's. Our guy who got into a little Twitter beef with McManus. Not really, but a little bit. About his practice field goals the other day and how many he missed. It wasn't very good. But then when practice, when he had to kick, he made, pretty much all of them. And so McManus and him kind of went back and forth. And today, in all of his sessions, he was money. He missed two, and they were like 70 yarders, right? And that was it. Like warm-up drills, regular practice. You know, it doesn't matter when it was. McManus was money. And so he had a great day. He's Stokely star of the day, Zach, Brandon McManus. Great job.
Love it. Love it. Brandon McManus, who has turned into, oh, Kistner's in here up in arms. Kistner's up in arms.
Uh-oh. He's like, upset. Well, like, how did I give that to him?
Yeah. I think this rivalry runs deep between Kevin Kistner and Brandon McManus.
I said he missed two. That last two. Okay. Kistner's pointing out. He's like, hey, bro, he missed two. Like, he missed two. Like, he was counting them. Kistner's charting. I liked it. Kistner's doing a great job. And I like said he missed two, like, but they were like.
When McManus comes to kick, like, Kistner, like, leaves us, and he goes right behind the field goal post to see if
it goes
through.
He's making sure. He's doing a great job, by the way.
I appreciate that diligence.
No, I do, too. But I did say he missed two. They're at the very end, they're both, like, 70-yarders. So.
Yeah.
Kistner's like, hey, how dare you?
Love it. Here's my guy. See, you know, I don't get a star.
No.
Because I was not a star. But once upon a time,
you shut down Jimmer Fredette. Twinkle, twinkle.
You could actually Google the 2005 Foothills Council Championship game. It is on YouTube. Go to the last minute.
Yeah,
yeah.
Take that.
People Fredette. Don't forget.
No,
people don't forget.
How could you?
You can't. When I've got the newspaper article in my pocket,
right, in your wallet. You can't read a lot of it because it's a little. You know, it's a little. Sweaty, but, you know, kind of got the ink smeared, but still you can see the headline. What does the headline say once again?
By double threat for Tartans.
Mm.
Shuts down Fredette, hits game winner.
Mm. End quote.
End quote. I don't know.
Hey.
Scored 5 points in the last 50 seconds of the championship game, like, on the road.
You and Reggie Miller. I mean, what's the difference?
It rings out.
Right? You know.
I was looking at the Gretzky ball
fans
with the choke sign.
Yeah, the choke sign. Yeah, right. Boom. How about that?
Too funny. All right, my twinkle. You get a twinkle.
There we go.
My twinkle today. Look, I'm not going to lie. This guy wasn't out there wrecking shop.
But it's just a twinkle.
But I did see him in the backfield a little bit earlier in practice. And this kind of has a dual meaning because I really like the way that he played on Saturday. And it's a name to keep an eye on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Shamar Stephens.
There you go.
A defensive tackle. Formerly of the Minnesota Vikings, now playing on the Vikings West, a.k.a. the Denver Broncos. played at UConn, was a seventh-round pick, spent some time with the Seahawks. Two different stints with the Minnesota Vikings. Now here in Denver, I really like him. And I want us to keep an eye on Shamar Stephens. I think he is a part of a room that has some depth. At the defensive tackle spot, the big boys up front. And Fangio was asked, what will the decision-making process be like regarding that D-line depth?
Yeah, I think they're doing good. I mean, Shamar played really good the other night. He's been playing good the entire camp. You know, Deshaun, same thing. Sosa's been out a while. When he was in there, he was doing good. A lot of those guys are doing a good job, and we'll have difficult decisions to make.
All right. Could be a strength of this football team.
That's Vic's first love. You can tell. Defensive side of the football, right?
Of course.
A little bit better than, you know, when he talks about the quarterback. Just a little bit.
Yeah, he'll expand a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely is.
There you go.
All right. Keep an eye
like
that name.
I like that one. I mean, you see a guy that has been in the league for a while, and there's a reason why he's been in the league for a while. He's a pro, and, you know, he's getting more and more reps now. The more he gains the coach's trust, and he's doing well with it. So you can never have too many, you know.
No.
You got to roll those guys through. Those are big bodies, right?
You
got to have depth there.
And we saw that firsthand a year ago. Shelby Harris missed, I think, four consecutive weeks with COVID stuff. Mike Purcell signs that deal, goes right down afterward.
We have
season-ending injury.
Jarrell Casey,
season-ending injury, like after, maybe, was it three games, something like that?
Yeah, we haven't seen Purcell. He hurt his ankle or foot again. Last year, but his ankle or something this year?
Yeah, what was that?
That was early in camp. We haven't seen him since, I don't think, have we?
We got to keep an eye out for that tomorrow. That's I haven't been looking for it. There's a lot going on at training camp.
Right.
We'll keep an eye out for that. Tomorrow.
That's your job. I'm not taking that responsibility. You want it? You got it.
All right.
That's your job.
That's fine.
He had been out there. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
98, right? I mean,
okay.
I'm pretty sure he hadn't been out there.
I see. Oh, double check. Yeah, there you go. All right. Take a time out here. There was a moment in practice with the quarterbacks that I think is pretty noteworthy, and we weren't alone in that thinking. There's another set of eyes that was with us out there on the hill, and he'll join us and react to what went down next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
We're out there at camp today, training camp, UC Health Training Center. We're being told, by the way, that Mike Purcell was out there today. Limited snap count.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I told you, right?
He said he wasn't out there.
You sure?
You heard something else.
Huh?
James Merrillat was out there with us.
I thought he was limited.
Now, I was curious, though. I was listening to the beginning of the show, and you were listing all the people that you were hanging out with, and it was Richie, and it was Stoke, and it was Kevin.
Did I not say you?
And it was Cecil, and it was Luke.
Did I not say James?
Matt, the listener, and then it was
right.
Joe.
Let me give a shout out to Jeff and Castle Pines,
yeah.
And,
I'm
and
sorry,
George, and
Jimmy?
Loveland.
Some random guy from right. Albany.
Yeah, yeah, some random
Scott.
From
then you went into the Scott. Guy you met at the bar on Saturday.
That's right.
That's UPS Brandon.
And your
mailman. You talked about your mailman and what
mailman
great job
Mike.
He does.
That's my mailman. Mailman
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, and
out.
I'm just sitting there. I'm like, man.
I was there.
Made quite
no
the impression.
No love for you, James.
Man.
Wow.
I have to tell you, I did not realize I omitted you. But
it's okay.
You sound like Vic omitting Drew Locke, right?
It's possible.
James has been fine. James has been fine.
Yeah, that'd
be like a big response.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it has been, seriously, you and I didn't know each other from Adam until you started working here.
Yes.
And it has been a blast watching training camp with you. You and I kind of often come in together, leave together.
Yep, yep.
Today, out there, was a, I don't want to say a strange moment, but I think possibly a telling moment. And maybe an impactful moment for one of these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I thought it was a strange moment. I really did, just because it's not something we've seen in camp at all up until this point. And they were running a drill, and Teddy did his reps, and then Drew was doing some. And Stoke and I like to go back and forth, right, when Drew takes a while to get rid of the football, and Stoke starts screaming that it was a sack, and I start talking about, look at him work through his progressions.
On the street.
Is Stoke rooting for Teddy?
I don't know.
Is there some other layer to this that we're not saying?
Yeah, it definitely is.
No. Listen. We go back and forth. You do the same thing when Teddy's out there.
Yeah.
We have fun with
we
it.
Do.
That's
we
all.
Do.
That's all. It's all fun.
It's the back and forth of
that's
how
right.
we all kind of look at it through our own lens,
yes.
right? Like it's funny. Well, Drew had one of his moments where it took him a while to get rid of the football, and Pat Shurmur was upset. Drew gets back in the huddle to call the play. And here comes Teddy to replace him. And Drew has to go back and stand next to Pat Shurmur.
He had to take that's a walk of shame right there. He took the walk of shame.
And then they have this, I don't want to say it was an argument, but it was animated enough that you could see hands moving, right? Drew's pointing out things and kind of flailing his arms around, and Pat's doing the same thing. And then Teddy runs the next couple of reps. It was interesting. We have not seen either quarterback get yanked out of a drill and replaced with the other guy up until today. I don't know necessarily how to interpret it. There's a lot of different ways you can look at it. I think if you're in the Drew Locke camp, though, you got to really spin it for it to have been a positive by any means.
Well, certainly not a positive.
No.
I mean, it's a negative. And to me, James, it really shows their frustration with Drew Locke. It continues. I mean, he just had a great game on Saturday. If that's your guy, you have patience with him. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like one mistake. Oh, it's okay, buddy. You're not going to pull somebody for one mistake. You're just going to let them keep going through it. And you tell me this. If that was Teddy Bridgewater running that play and he made that mistake, do you think Pat Shurmur would have acted like that? Do you think Pat Shurmur would have pulled him out of practice?
Wow.
I mean, not out of practice, out of the drill?
That's a really good question.
No,
yeah, right, it is.
I don't.
I don't either.
And I think we've all, if you've done any kind of coaching at any kind of level, we all know what that's like, right? You know the guys who, hey, that kid can play, and so you're getting on him, but, man, you're not going to yank him out of there the guy that you're just kind of tired of putting up with his nonsense, you do yank out of it.
That's
you're trying
right.
to make a point. Like, yeah, I definitely think that's what's going on. I don't understand it, and we talked about it yesterday, and I think they've since the day they drafted him, they've put hurdles in front of Drew Lock. Now it's a bunch of hoops to jump through. And, you know, it may be he's fed up with it, too, of like, man, it's just I kind of get the sense if I was Drew Lock, I would get the sense, especially with Vic Fangio, that nothing is ever good enough, right? Like you would start to get to a point where you're exacerbated and it's never going to be enough for that guy and you're never going to do it right in their eyes. And it almost kind of felt like he was a little bit at that point today.
Certainly he was.
And I thought it was telling.
But James,
it was very telling.
I wanted to ask you then, I'll jump in here real quick again, and we're joined by James Merrilatt. When you start putting the clues together, you hear Vic at halftime, right? Mm-hmm. You see Pat Shurmur today. You hear Vic just talk about the quarterbacks in general. And to me, if he wants this to be Drew Lock, he's had plenty of opportunities to pump Drew up, right? That's what you do to your quarterback, especially a quarterback that struggled, right? We're not talking about Von Miller that you might need to push a little bit. We're talking about, you know, your quarterback that struggled last year. And if you want that guy and you think that guy's going to be your quarterback, well, when he plays well, you pump him up. Vic had a great opportunity to do that. He didn't do it. Now you see Pat Shurmur today pull Drew Lock from one of the drills. I think each to its own, it's not like a huge deal, but when you start putting these clues together, I mean, isn't it just signaling they want Teddy to be the quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I interpret it. Now, that's not who I would go with by any means.
We know that.
I think Drew Lock is the guy. But I think they're clearly leaning toward Teddy. There's one other explanation for it, though, Stoke. It comes across to me as they're you know, giving us signals to interpret here. The other thing could be, though, Vic Fangio is just an old school guy. I mean, was it the day he was introduced as the head coach that he started, you know, poking at Von Miller?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it took him 30 minutes on the job before he said, hey, who's the biggest name in the building and the best player? Yeah, I think I'll challenge that guy and call him out. You know, this is probably how they did it in Saints camp in 1985,
yeah.
Right? You don't praise the young quarterback.
Dome patrol.
You just
that's willing.
You just continually put them down and old
Sam Hills.
It's not a very good 2021 way to manage people. It's just not. Now, we can complain about whether or not it was better back in the day, which I don't think it was. But the reality of it is, this is how it is. And, you know, you look up the fact that he's born in 1996, right? He's
true.
He's a guy that you probably need to manage like, you know, anybody in any business would manage someone that's on the younger end of the work scale, the age scale. And he doesn't. He hasn't praised him since his original training camp when he went down to Empower Field at Mile High, the open practice, looked really good. And what was Vic Fangio's, you know, post-practice comments? 7-on-7. It's not real football. Oh, thanks. Way to sell it. Way to get the fan base excited about the young quarterback. Way to build up the young quarterback. So it could just be that, Stoke, that he has no idea how to manage people. He has no idea how to inspire people. He has no idea how to motivate people. And he's just that.
But he said Brandon Allen has the it factor. He said Brandon, I mean, you know, he's pumping up Brandon Allen, of all people, that you knew wasn't going to be your long-term answer. So he has done it before. He just does it oddly and differently, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. It seems like, you know, like you said, you wouldn't want to pick a fight with Von Miller. Not pick a fight, but call him out first day on the job. You don't want to, you know, you want to pump up your quarterback that's struggling if you see him being your starter.
I just, without a doubt, and, you know, Vic Fangio, and we all kind of know these types of people, right? They knock down people that's in their circle who are doing well, and they praise Zach the
by.
People who...
Wait,
aren't.
Say, like, what did you just say?
We know. He's looking right in front of you, James,
wait,
right
what?
There.
Wait. I do what now?
He relax.
Just, you just, are the worst.
He relax. Just forgets who he spent 2 hours hanging out with. It's okay. It's fine. But I couldn't help but wonder how Pete Carroll would have handled the situation with Drew Lock. Right? Like, let's just pick an example of the other extreme of an overly positive guy. A rah-rah guy, because it's not an age thing. Pete Carroll's older than Vic Fangio.
He is.
So it's not an age thing. It's a temperament thing. It's an approach thing. And I just think, man, if you from day one would have gone about this with a pat him on the back, praise him when they do well, try to build someone up, try to build confidence, I can't help but think you would have ended up with a better end result. I just don't think this is a good way to do it. But it's the Bronco way. And Paxton Lynch was probably going to turn into a disaster anyway. But they did a horrible job of developing him, too. They just don't seem to understand how to develop a young quarterback. I think Drew Lock is another example. And when this sham of a competition turns out to be they were going with Teddy Bridgewater all along, it will be maybe the biggest misstep they've had, because they have a guy. I think we can all agree, whether you're a Teddy guy or a Drew guy, Teddy can play, or Drew can play. Right now, maybe he's not consistent.
We saw
enough,
it. But we've seen it.
He can play. So if you've got a young quarterback who can play, why are you not doing everything in your power to make that guy better and to maximize it and to build him up and to instill some confidence instead of just constantly knocking him down? It drives me up a wall. But I do think it's one of those two things. Either Teddy's their guy, or Vic just doesn't know how to manage people, or it's both. It could be both.
It could be. And I think you're making fair points. Here's what I'm doing. I am mentally preparing myself for them to just announce Teddy Bridgewater as a starter. That's honestly it's to the point where I think I would be legitimately surprised if they picked Drew, which is interesting because two things. One, there's still time left in this competition. We got a game here on Saturday.
Yes.
We have practices tomorrow and Thursday. It feels like, I don't know, can Drew actually win this thing after what he did on Saturday? I think he's going to have to go do it again. And I think that Teddy's going to have to struggle. And when you think about Teddy struggling, could there be natural excuses built in? Stoke, and you and I talked a little bit about this, natural excuses built in with Seattle, with the amount of starters that will play, with a much better defense than Minnesota.
Yeah, well, here's my – absolutely, that plays a part in it. There's no doubt about it. But here's my question for you, and I want to get your thoughts on it first, and then we'll get to James here. But my question for you, Zach, is looking at this competition and seeing how Vic has handled this situation, right? Is it just because that he's going to be out of this altogether pretty much? That this is really on Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur's really making this call. It's not really Vic. I mean, Vic's in on it, of course. But do you think that could be the case here where it's Pat Shurmur really making this call? So Vic is kind of out of
well,
it.
I don't want to just say it's just Vic or it's just Pat. I really want to say this is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. You see how he always takes stuff too far? Like that's who that guy is.
Yeah. I mean, did you see the give and go that we had right there? The give and go. I mean, the teamwork.
And I'm just
Stockton to Malone.
Just helplessly sitting
back to
here.
Stockton for the three.
And I'm thinking, I know what's happening.
Right. You know it. You know it. But you just couldn't stop it.
You just
couldn't stop the dynamic duo.
Like, do I interrupt them on their own show?
I know this is coming.
Or do I just sit here and get dunked on?
Right.
And I chose the latter. I tried to,
But I'm serious. Do you think that it's really just Vic, not being clueless to the situation, but hey, it'll get figured out. I'm going to let Pat figure it out. How's my defense doing? Is that crazy talk?
I don't think it's crazy talk at all. I think if Pat Shurmur said, hey, I really feel more comfortable with Teddy Bridgewater than Drew Lock, he would go with Teddy Bridgewater. I think if Pat Shurmur said, I really feel more comfortable with Drew than with Teddy, I think he would go with Drew. I don't know that Vic Fangio is going to, veto his offensive coordinator here.
I agree.
I really don't, which is another part of the dynamic, though, right? Because we all think, well, Vic Fangio, he wants to go with the safe option because his job is on the line. Well, if you're Pat Shurmur, yeah, your job is on the line. But is there really a lot of upside to going with Teddy Bridgewater and going 8-9? Like, I don't know that that's going to, get him back as one of those hot names. And look, he may be past being a hot name on the coaching carousel anyway.
I think those days are. But James?
But if they go 12-5 with Drew Lock?
Well, hey, yes.
Maybe.
Obviously. But what got him his last job? What got Pat Shurmur his last job?
Was that
who got it?
Case Keenum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't a young, up-and-coming quarterback.
That's a good point.
It was a middle-of-the-road quarterback that played above his head. and you know, hit it out of the park. Next thing you know, Pat Shurmur got a job. So there's different ways to get a job. It's not always a young quarterback. If you take a Teddy Bridgewater on the Denver Broncos, four straight losing seasons, all of a sudden you go 11-5, your offense looks great. It's like next thing you know, you could be another hot candidate.
But if you're Cincinnati,
take that for data.
Just as an example, right? And it just doesn't work out again this year, and you got to make a coaching change. Who they got? Taylor? Is that the guy that came from
Zach Taylor?
Zach Taylor. That came from the Rams. So I mean, we have to, you know, I have to think about his name. So he's certainly one of those guys you could see being gone if they struggle this year. And you got Joe Burrow, and you look at it and say, man, look what Pat Shurmur did though in his second year with Drew Locke, and he turned him around, and he threw for 30 touchdowns and only 10 picks. Maybe he's the right guy, kind of a stabilizing force. We had the young head coach. Now we're bringing a guy with some experience. Like, there's a scenario where that could maybe make some sense.
Certainly.
So I don't know. I really have you said you wouldn't be shocked if they just named Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know that anything would shock me at this point. I mean, I just know I'm filling in for with Chad Brown on Monday, and I'm like, man, from 9 to noon, I got to be prepared for this news and be ready to just reel from it on the air, because if it is Teddy Bridgewater and we see another week like we just had where Drew plays well, it is going to be a little bit of throw your hands up and go, it was rigged against him. He never had a shot. Like, if he plays well against Seattle, and so he did as well as he could against the ones in the time he got to start, right? And everybody says, well, he only completed five passes and, you know, only got to throw seven.
He didn't play against any ones, James.
Well,
there was no ones out there.
He was with the ones.
Yeah,
he was with the ones.
Right.
But, I mean, it was his opportunity to start.
Yeah.
Like, it's not his fault he kept throwing touchdowns and the drives ended.
No,
right? Like,
no.
So he only got to throw seven passes.
But he also ran the ball pretty well.
If he played as well as he could there and he plays well as a backup, like, then it was never going to happen.
No,
he was
never
going to win the job.
But, James, Teddy played well, and what if Teddy plays well again? So I don't think – it's not like Teddy played awful, and if Teddy plays awful again, then you give it to him. I could see that argument. But Teddy –
But if he outperforms Teddy again, can we agree that Drew Locke outperformed Teddy Bridgewater on Saturday?
Yes, they both played well, but Drew Locke played better.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
If you do that again this weekend – you know,
but it wasn't a 10-8 round. It wasn't a 10-8 round.
You think it was a 10-9 round?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Zach, Teddy threw a touchdown. Teddy ran for a touchdown. If it wasn't for an awful call, we can't forget the rushing touchdown also from Teddy. He was, what was he, seven for eight? Only had one incompletion, too.
Well, wait a minute. That sounds a lot like the Little League mom.
Why?
Score again.
I mean, why? What am I saying that's wrong?
No. What you're saying is not wrong, but Drew Locke had twice as many yards, twice as many touchdowns. I just within hit the reps that
what about
given,
the rating? What about the rating? How close? Pretty close or blowout?
I mean, the traditional quarterback rating, Drew, was
153 to 144. Close, 10-9.
But
it wasn't a blowout because Teddy played well too.
Given he only, how could you not? He only threw seven passes and had twice as many yards and twice as many touchdowns. Given the context, like under the umbrella of the opportunity he was given, I do have that as a 10-8 round.
Okay, I don't. I didn't see it as a 10-8 round. I mean, he made a nice pass to KJ Hamler that just ran by a backup safety. Okay? Is that, you know, real football? Are we going to see that on Sunday against the New York Giants? Probably not.
But what's the sense of even having a competition if what happens is not football and we're not grading it?
But the guy who was covering Trinity Benson.
That was awful coverage, too. That was awful coverage, too. There you go. I'm telling you. That was like a four stringer. That was a four stringer. But, you know, that's who both these guys played against. Obviously, it's not top flight competition. And you have to take that into evaluation when you're looking at the situation. Did you see the pass rush? No, there was no pass rush. That defensive line stunk.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was very bad.
They were running the ball like, you know, it was Pop Warner out there. Every time they turn around, Javonte Williams, the first 10 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards. I mean, come on. But I'm not taking, I don't want to take everything away from Drew Locke, but I didn't. Drew Locke hit one more big play. He had an 80-yard pass to, obviously, KJ Hamler. I mean, there you go.
He had the nice play-action pass to Hamler.
In the first passing attempt of the game. But I'm just talking about,
he had the read the field pass to
Judy. That was the best one.
I think everyone in town agrees that that was the best.
Except Vic, that was great protection. It was a great route. It was a great play call. It was everything. He praised every single person you can possibly praise on that, except for his quarterback. Here's how this is going to go. It's going to be Teddy Bridgewater's going to play fine against Seattle. He's not going to blow us away. He's not going to be 5 of 7 for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's not. He's just going to be fine. But they're going to spin it as, well, but he's playing against more starters. It's Seattle. He's up there. Like,
what if that he doesn't, counts more. What if he doesn't play well? What if Teddy Bridgewater this weekend
it's the
doesn't
only way
play
Drew
well?
And Drew plays really, really well?
And Drew plays well against the 2s and 3s. Like, not great. Not this past Saturday. He just doesn't turn it over.
Yeah, no turnovers.
He's
just solid.
7 for 11 for 88 yards. No turnovers, no interceptions. But Teddy Bridgewater doesn't play well, throws a pick. What do you do?
Throws a pick or two.
Do they extend the competition?
Who knows?
Yeah, they're going to keep extending it until they get the guy they want.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. It's hard to read.
It's like you and your coin flip on Saturday night. Heads or tails? Up. No, let's go 2 out of 3. Let's go 3 out of 5. Let's go 4 out of 7.
Until you get the result that you want. Keep my business extended.
Keep my business
that's all
in-house.
That's all I said.
We've all done it,
coin
right?
Coin flip to see whether you're going to do something or not.
And then when it doesn't go your way, you make it 2 out of 3.
That's what they're going to do.
And then when I didn't make it 2 out of 3, I just went and did it anyway.
Right. Yeah. I still lost, but you know what?
Maybe that's a big thing.
I'm going to send this tweet anyway.
Come on.
What the... The Johnny Boland tweet you retweeted.
Just
remember that?
Gosh.
The coin flip said no, but you...
That'll be a tough sell.
That Yatka said, yeah.
That'll be a tough sell to the fan base, though.
Hey, you deserve it. You deserve right? it, Zach. You deserve it.
I knew you were going to do this.
Right. I wasn't going to do it, but then I thought all the times that you threw me under the bus, right, about
the
elephant and the apes. Yep, you deserve it.
That's
so take that. There you go, Johnny. Be in the house.
Oh, I love it.
He was having a good Saturday night.
Hey.
No comment?
Hey. I heard D-Mac make a good point about this, and I just want to draw some light to this. Vic Fangio has no equity with the Denver Broncos, right? Hasn't won a game in September, losing seasons, and went from bad to worse, went from 7-9 to 5-11. How important is this quarterback, like solving the quarterback riddle? It's paramount. You could argue it is the most important thing for an NFL franchise, figuring out if you have a young quarterback. It's a pretty big deal. Should this just be up to Vic Fangio? I mean, this is about the Denver Broncos. Vic Fangio, the likelihood, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about this tomorrow. Like, the odds are out. The odds are out. Which NFL coach is going to get fired first?
Uh-huh.
Our guy here in town is number one.
Ooh, okay? Number one spot?
Numero uno.
Ooh.
Okay.
Luna.
He's got 1 foot out the door.
Wow.
This Drew Lock thing is massively important. I think George Payton, given the choice, wants to see the young quarterback because ultimately it's not Aaron Rodgers. The best case scenario for the Broncos is your young drafted quarterback on a rookie contract who's not even making first round money, taking zero space up, that guy works out. Should this just all be up to Vic?
No.
I'm just asking the question.
No.
Or is this
no.
an organizational decision?
No, it's Pat Shurmur. Who's running the offense? Who's running the offense?
Pat Shurmur.
Yeah. That's whose decision it should be. Right.
Well,
ultimately, that's whose decision it should be. He's the one calling plays. He's the one coming up with the game plans.
What equity does Pat Shurmur have?
What equity?
Yeah, he's been here for one year.
Vic hired him to be the offensive coordinator and to be the pro over there, to be the man of the offense.
I'm saying going outside that brain trust and going upstairs a little bit.
I think it's bad if it becomes a habit where the general manager steps in and overrides the coach. But it's the same conversation we had before Jamal got hurt, when Michael Porter Jr. wasn't getting a lot of minutes, and I said, Tim Connelly needs to go into Mike Malone and say, that kid's playing 30 minutes a night. I don't care.
Basketball is different than football. Basketball, they play so many games, James. It's way different than football.
But the concept,
you can do that more in basketball than you can in football.
The GM having to have the big picture, though, like the long view versus just how do we win tonight or how do we win on Sunday or how do I get to 8 wins and save my job, like – there are times when I think the GM has to step in and do what's better for the organization because it's clearly better for the organization to go with Drew.
That's a bad precedent, like you're saying, James, if you're doing it in this situation. Now, if you had a first-year head coach, you just can't step in and make that type of play if you're George Payton in this situation. You got to let it play out. You got to let them make the decision. Their butts are on the line. You just can't do it. It's a bad way to operate.
You probably can't fire them. You probably can't fire him if you told him which quarterback to play.
It makes it very difficult, and then you get thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
Because what happens on the way out? Vic says, hey, that wasn't my fault. I wanted to play Teddy. He made me play Drew. That's not who I wanted.
If George Payton doesn't have the courage to step in and make that decision.
Nobody said he doesn't have the courage. It's just not the way. It's not the smart way to operate.
Then he's going
to
be stuck with a 9-8 football team and deciding, well, he didn't make the playoffs for 3 straight years, but what do I do with the head coach going into us last year, and a quarterback who just went 9-8, who's now out of his contract? Do you re-sign Teddy? Do you use that 20th overall pick to get a quarterback? Like, then they're going to be stuck in no man's land. That George Payton will have deserved that fate if he's not willing to step in and be a part of this equation.
All right, man. This is you would have thought after Saturday things would become a little bit more clear. They're not.
Nope.
It's not.
I literally and figuratively got dunked on in this segment.
That's right. How did it feel?
He came in here.
I did.
And like touched the ball on my head.
Yes.
Like, he always takes stuff just a little bit too far.
Why, like, it's the way it goes.
Why are your hands on anyone at work?
Just the way it goes sometimes.
Go down to HR during the break.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, James.
Add it to the list. Long list.
Stokely and Zach's analysis of training camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, is powered by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. All right, we will return back to the quarterback conversation in just a couple minutes. But first, Garrett Bowles miraculously turned around his career in 2020, and he earned the respect of his peers, and yet he still thinks he may be underrated. Take a dive into this conversation coming up next.
I have thrown hands on a number of occasions.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.